When the president takes to the podium in the House chamber tonight, he will have the opportunity to declare his agenda before one of the largest and most attentive audiences that has ever viewed a speech by him. President Trump's first official State of the Union could be a roadmap out of the negative news that has hung over his administration for months now. We'll talk about what to look for in tonight's address in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Jordan Fabian is White House correspondent for The Hill. His recent piece is titled Trump's Five Goals for State of the Union Address. Jordan, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with yesterday's news that the FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe said he's leaving his post. He's been the target of President Trump's criticism now for months. It's just the latest in the Justice Department's turbulence. Does this distract in any way from tonight's State of the Union?
I think it does. As you said, it comes amid this swirl in the Russia investigation. Now we're expecting this this memo that Republicans say is going to, you know, cast political aspersions on the Russia investigation. Expected that to be released in the coming days. A lot of people think there could be more moves afoot with the White House interfering with the Justice Department, and it creates an environment where this is what people in the media are talking about, and a lot of people in the president's orbit were hoping he could use this speech to focus the nation's attention on the economic strength that's happening under the president. But unfortunately, I think that's going to be overshadowed quite a bit by the developments of the last 24 hours.
The president, he earned a lot of praise last year for his speech to a joint session of Congress. It technically was not a State of the Union address. But now that he has a full year under his belt in the Oval Office, how are the expectations different this time around?
Well, the White House is telling us that to expect a similar tone from the president, that he's going to offer an optimistic and unifying message to the nation, talking about, again, some of the positive economic developments that the White House sees, and also pointing to stories of people who are going to be sitting in the First Lady's box, like a couple who adopted a baby whose parents were addicted to opioids, as kind of these emotional highlights. I think the president saw the positive coverage his speech got last year, and he wants a repeat of that. And so I don't think we're going to see the kind of gloom and doom rhetoric we've sometimes seen from the president, you know, talking about American carnage and things like that. I think this is going to be a different kind of speech, a positive speech.
Oh, a different tone from his inauguration address.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, everyone remembers that. You know, you talked about American carnage, and it painted quite a bleak picture of the nation. But I think after 1 year in office, you know, he wants to paint a picture that he's helping the nation turn around. So I think it, you know, for his political goals, it befit him that he would, you know, paint a positive picture of what's going on, not a negative one.
Well, let's dig into those five goals you wrote about in your piece. You cited a White House official saying, as the president saying that he will use tonight's speech to make a pitch for his immigration plan, which ran into opposition on Capitol Hill when it was rolled out last week. Remind us of what that plan is and what went wrong, why it wasn't well received.
Well, the plan would offer close to 2 million young immigrants who are brought illegally to the U.S. as children, people who are referred to as dreamers, a path to citizenship over 10 to 12 years, in exchange for about $25 billion to build the border wall that the president has promised between U.S. and Mexico, and changes to the legal immigration system. Now, Democrats are upset with those changes to legal immigration. They say it would cut the number of people who are able to come to the United States too much. And what it would do is remove some of the family-based immigration preferences that have been around for decades. So, if you're a U.S. citizen, you can no longer sponsor your parents or your siblings to get citizenship. So that's a drastic change, and one the Democrats say is too much to give up for those protections for dreamers.
So what's the president's goal tonight, then, on the topic of immigration, do you think?
Well, I think he's going to put the pressure on Democrats to get behind the plan. You know, like you said at the opening, this is the president's biggest chance of the year to use the bully pulpit to really persuade people to get behind his policy and political goals. So he can use that to pressure Democrats to say, look, this is the best offer you're going to get. You've been wanting protections for these Dreamers for a long time, so you've got to get on board. So I'm expecting that he's going to give the hard sell and really put the onus on them to accept the deal or walk away.
Jordan Fabian is with us. He's White House correspondent for The Hill, giving us a preview of tonight's State of the Union address that has been highly anticipated and talked about. Jordan, you also reported that the president will use a good portion of his speech tonight to really put some put some analysis around structure, around his trillion-dollar infrastructure proposal. What are you going to be listening for there?
Well, what we want is details, because we haven't gotten a whole lot of those with regard to his infrastructure plan. And this is something that the White House has said is the number one priority going into the president's second year, but we don't know much about it. And frankly, it's running into some political headwinds with the midterm elections coming up in the fall. But I think the president is going to give us some more details about what he wants, and what we're hearing is there will be some kind of private funding, some kind of public-private partnerships that would help fund these roads, bridge, and transit projects around the country, and the number could be up to $1 trillion in total public and private investment. So I think that's a huge package. I mean, if you remember the stimulus that President Obama enacted in 2009 to dig out of the Great Recession, that was less than $1 trillion. So this is a huge plan, and I know that a lot of lawmakers in Congress are eagerly awaiting the details.
Well, there's certainly been some negative headlines, as we talked about at the outset, that the Russia investigation, there's been the president's mental fitness and that story playing out. There was the S-hole countries and that whole fallout that are just from this month alone. But the economy continues to move along swimmingly. So should we expect to hear quite a bit about the economy?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the major thrust of this speech. I think the president, according to Hayes, who talked to us about it in the last couple of days, he kind of wants to take a victory lap. He's going to point to the fact that the unemployment rate is around 4%, which is very low. He'll talk about the stock market, how the Dow Jones Industrial Average has hit a few records this month, and the fact that wages are growing, which was a frequent complaint of Republicans and some Democrats under President Obama as the economy was recovering. So I think he can point to those things and say that the things that he's accomplished as far as tax cuts and cutting regulations are responsible for that. Obviously, the Democrats will have their pushback against that and how much the credit the president deserves in their response. But I think that's going to be a central thrust of this speech for sure.
You wrote that the president is not expected to make an overt pitch to vote for Republicans in the midterms, but that he wants to make the case that the party is producing positive results. How is he going to lay that out?
Well, I think, look, a lot of presidents will use the speech to reach people who didn't vote for them in the election and who don't support him now, to essentially reach out to them and make a case that the country is on the right track under their leadership. And that's frankly not something that this president has frequently done. He frequently talks to the base, riles up the base. But this is a speech where tens of millions of people are going to be watching on television, and the president is going to have that kind of positive, unifying message that I mentioned in the open. So I think by making the case that the country's on the right track, by offering those tones of unity and patriotism and these feel-good moments, he can really appeal to people, undecided voters, independents, who are still making up their minds about who they're going to vote for in the fall. They might be thinking about that speech when they go to the ballot box later this year.
Well, as we wrap up here, do you expect the president to editorialize, to go off script, to go off the teleprompter in any way?
Well, the White House is saying there's going to be no surprises in the speech, that he's going to stick to script. And it's worth mentioning he did stick to script during that speech last year, his first speech to a joint session of Congress. But as we all know, this is a non-traditional, unpredictable president, so there could be a few surprises. So I guess we'll all have to watch tonight and see what happens.
Well, Jordan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Jordan Fabian is White House correspondent for The Hill. His recent piece is titled Trump's Five Goals for the State of the Union Address. We will bring you live special coverage from NPR beginning at 8 o'clock of the president's speech and the Democratic response. It will be hosted by Ari Shapiro and Mary Louise Kelly. Also joining the coverage tonight, national political correspondent Mara Liasson, congressional correspondent Susan Davis, and more NPR correspondents. When we come back, we'll talk with one of the only editorial cartoonists in Wisconsin. What's your idea for a great political cartoon? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Stay with us. News update is coming up next on the Ideas Network.